So Valen, this is the fourth shoe shop that you go to in the plaza here in Arequito. And for the fourth time, the shopkeeper tells you, "Sorry, honey, we only do claw feet here, really. So if you want to buy the humanoid section, you can buy over there." And it's literally just like Ugg boots and pieces of canvas and tarp tied together with some rope. Hope that's enough.
Silas, I'm so sorry. I really thought we could get you some better shoes.
What's wrong with these? Silas looks down at his shoes, and they are just falling apart. Like, the sole is falling off. You can see his socks through some of the thinner holes.
I think Lucien walks in and is like, "Oh, guys, are you shopping?" And I look down at Silas' shoes. "Oh, what are those?" I feel like it was appropriate, disappointing, dramatically. Like, what are you shopping for?
Trying to get Silas some shoes.
Velen says that apparently you are supposed to replace them in your lifetime.
Oh, ooh, child, these are quite terrible.
But if I had nice shoes, how would I develop such great blisters to keep my feet safe from the wastes of the world?
That sounded so sad that I feel like I have to do something. Silas, this is going to sound like a strange request. Take your shoes off.
That is a strange request, but okay. I take my shoes off. I wave to JC and Penny, the obvious clerks behind the counter.
I'm going to take these shoes. I'm just going to look them over. Like, do you have a, particular favorite color or something?
Regulation would say it should be gray.
Gray. I see.
I'm partial towards blue. They said that's the color the sky used to be.
Gotcha.
Blue is against protocol because it can be confusing if you are walking in an area with lots of blueberries. It's just, you know, it blends in. It's very
well, Yago figured that out.
I assume that blueberries are blue.
Oh, you don't know what that is. Oh, small sweet child.
Penny says, "Oh yeah, I'm a veteran of the Blueberry Wars. Those were some dark times."
It gets very confusing.
There were wars? Is that what happened to all the blueberries? Were they lost in battle?
Yeah, you know...
We don't really talk about that anymore.
You see guys running around with blue boots next to blueberries? You don't know what to shoot.
We don't talk about it. Ugh, Bruno, no.
No.
I think Lucian's gonna be like, "I'll be right back." And he steps outside and looks for like a stump. And he places the boots onto the stump and sits down and looks really closely at them. I'm pretty sure I can make these something.
Valen?
Yeah.
Is he just staring at my shoes?
Shh, we don't kink shame.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing.
Okay.
So as he's there, he starts like mending the boots slowly, and I was like, I think I know what to do. So as he's there, he's taking out little tools on his armor, and they're like coming out the like little side arms. Instead of like usually they show like heavy mech doing like guns and stuff popping out. It's little tools. So a bunch of tools are coming out of his hands right now, around his armor, and it's just like going hardcore on these normal ass boots as if he was building a weapon.
Let's give him some privacy. It looks like he's about to go hardcore on those shoes, and I just don't want to be there for that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we should get a little privacy carton. I think that's how they do it in libraries.
You know, come to think of it, I also know how to mend shoes, so there really wasn't an excuse for me letting them get this bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you've been reading my weekly reports in which I told you your shoes are not obeying protocol. Have you not been reading your evaluations?
I read most of what you give me.
As you're over there, Lucien pops back over to you guys for a moment. Silas, how do you spell your name? Spell it for me.
S-Y-L-A-S.
Gotcha.
You can read?
What? Yeah, of course I can read. What? Is that a thing?
Can you not read, Fallon?
Hey, Lucien, do you need help with those shoes?
Fallon, you've just got to remember that back at the community, we're poor and don't have anything, but it turns out reading is free, so...
After a while, you see Lucien comes back, and he has a whole, like, box, and on it is just... it's all black, but with a large red box with a text on it that just says Lucien Lawton. So it's not exactly Supreme, but it's real close to it. It's like, I hand you the box.
Wait, did you just have a box in your... You know what? This is cool. I open it up and immediately hold the shoes above my head for all to see.
I was about to say.
So you see the shoes that you had have now become full on, like, almost Chelsea boots. They are now slightly metal at the bottom. They are metalish toed boots. Along the side of it, there's like a cool metallic, like a slate gray. So it's blue gray. And along the side, it just says Silas. But at the bottom, all around it, it has the LLL symbols everywhere. And on a side, just on this little metallic thing, there's this little diamond that has the LL symbols on it, like the Timberland symbol. And yeah, I was like, yes. So these are yours now.
Silas has big ol' anime eyes, just very watery. Very, very, you can see the sparkles.
So they're great. They're good. And anytime you want to, you could teleport 15 feet.
What?
Yeah, that's with the little emblem thing hanging off the back. The other thing is just my infusion.
Silas makes a dex check. And he is not so excited. He falls down as he puts on the new shoes and immediately teleports out the window.
Oh!
Silas, no, we're 150 stories high!
Silas teleports back.
Okay, you know how young people bounce when they fall.
Yeah, they're pliable.
I forgot we were up in a tree.
Yeah, usually once, and then they don't move ever again.
No, young kids are pliable, they'll be fine.
Oh my gosh, these are so cool, thank you so much. I love them, they look like a luxury item. I've never had anything that was, like, designed for me before. This is so cool. Thank you so much. And then I look over at Kitana. The only gift I've ever gotten that was as cool as these are that bomb-ass sword. And then I look over at JC and Penny, and I'm like, oh, I guess we kind of just did this in your shoe store, huh?
Nah, queen, go off. How's down boots?
Oh, all right. Y'all are awesome. I'll buy my laces here.
Right. Also, if you... Oh, that's true. Also, if you go to, like, one of the sections, you can see the Lawton brand section. Like, there's, like, a Supreme brand section that's like, oh, that's my family right there. This is mine. I made these. Just letting you know. These designer claws, feet claws, that's me. I did that. Can I sign something?
They're like, what do you mean, sign something?
just be like, I was here, you know?
You're gonna give us an autograph or something? Like, yeah, you wanna make those shoes, we'll just make them. We're gonna do sue us?
Nah, I was gonna put my signature on it, and you could just sell it at a really high price to say that the creator was, like, here.
We'll reach out to you.
Gotcha. Say no more. I'm just in the area, just letting you know.
I teleport.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to The Legend of Nat 1. It is I, me, she, her, them, yes, me, Herman Rodriguez. I don't have much to say except that I got a Nintendo Switch and I'm playing Pokemon Arceus and I have no life now. Thank you.
Yeah, that's just a word of shame not going first.
Then let's say you start first then.
Shit, I did say something that night. Shit.
Yes, our beloved Shane is either taking care of his puppy at the moment.
I think he's got a grocery delivery, he said.
Oh, right, yeah, right. Probably
getting some iced coffee. So it is I, Brandon Poo Lee, and I play Lucian, the artificier, maybe future brand mogul of the Lawton brand. I mean, we already make weapons. If I pull a Seto Kaiba and move everything towards fashion, you know, could be pretty profitable. I think it's going to go well.
I'm down for it. You're going to have encounter a lot of issues, with, especially in Arito, where people are less bound to follow laws or contracts. But yeah, we can work on that. That's why the birds were like, what do you mean sign something? They're not really familiar with
it. Oh, no, I would like everyone just to be wearing my brand. And I want to make, like, artificial scarcity. So the ones that had my name on it are really scarce. And now I want to get people to start lining up just to get into your store at a certain time to get only one of my products. I think this could work.
You got like two brands going then, because you want everybody in your stuff. So that's like the basic brand, but then you got to have a like luxury brand with your name on it, and those are super scarce.
Yes, that's what I think. That's what's going to be. I think there's the regular LLL. That's the law, and that's my family stuff, right? You know, but the real good stuff, the Supreme stuff, that's just Lucian. Yeah. Yep, that's where my character's going now.
And remember, if you make anything extra, you have to destroy it and throw it away, because otherwise poor people can get a hold of it and ruin your brand integrity.
Absolutely not.
God fucking forbid. Ugh, imagine.
My goodness. Burn it after, immediately, if we leave even one left over. Well, there's Lucian's character arc. Forget all the secret stuff with Tabrisa and all that.
All right, I'll go next then. My name is Rick. I'm the voice of Kitana. And in absence of her normal morning ritual, in which she vigorously works out and cleans herself and her weapons and her armor, she is staring at her FAFSA bit for quite some time, her face impassive. She puts it away, rips the one hair that escaped from her bun out of her head, and proceeds with her day.
Because even in times of distraught, that one hair just keeps thinking it can do what it wants.
Hair will never defeat Kitana's desire for order.
My name is Valen, voiced by Pavel, and I am imminently and greatly concerned.
I'm Shane, I play Silas, and today I'm joined in my little recording studio, the Castle Cacophony, by a cute little mimic that got sent to me by our friend and fan Psyker. So thank you for that. It's so cute and it gobbles up all my dice.
So last time on the Legend of Nat 1, blah, 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 we landed in Arito. We had a lovely family reunion with Sander's family. While their dad was parading around and dancing, giving you a welcoming dance, Sander explained how the power structure of Arito works. Whoever is better at pageants and performance ends up being king for a year, or queen for a year, or ruler for a year, I guess. And after that, you learn that for Xander to qualify to become the cacique of their island, they have to go down to an ancient axe beak, which that's the original name of the creatures that eventually became Clockstitches. And this island is the birthplace of these creatures. And there is a oversized ancient one living deep, deep, deep in the island. Every year, many people go out trying to to gain its grace and get some feathers from it, either by force or by proving their worth. Sander's father gave you a bunch of hunting supplies in case you need to take it by force. But, you know, we'll never know. We don't know yet how it's going to play out. Before we ended the day, you went shopping. And as we saw earlier today in the beginning of the episode, we got some boots. Yes. Them Gucci boots. And, yeah, we're ready to go into the jungle. Let's go. You are not giving any mounts, by the way. You have to go on foot. And you have yourselves, so four of you plus Sander as your guest NPC for the day.
How you doing, Xander?
I'm doing all right, boss. You know, I knew this was coming, so I have my good walking boots on, and I don't know. Let's see how this goes.
Remind me, what is it that we are supposed to do when we meet the giant Axebeak?
We have to come back with some of its feathers, one way or another. I never met this thing before, but if my father can do it every year, I mean, have you met my father?
He seems very powerful.
He seems secretly incredibly powerful.
To be fair, his dances can be quite captivating and charming, so he probably just dances the bird to sleep or something, but we'll see how we do.
And just a clarification, we have to do this without harming the bird, right?
Correct. No harm is to come to the bird.
Can we define harm?
Yeah.
Damage.
Any damage?
Well, yes. We cannot harm the bird.
Okay, what if it's like friendly damage?
Is there such a thing?
Yeah.
We can club it in the head a few times if you have a bludgeoning item and knock it out, but knockout is fine. Killing it, not so cool.
Okay, but we can knock it out. Yeah, you know, like friends do.
Yeah, a little bunk here and there.
I think Lucian is going to be, as we're going, switching his armor into infiltrator mode. And I think it's like, I'm going to need a little speed on this one. This doesn't seem to be a heavy battling. I need to sneak up on this bird.
Well, I mean, if we're going to be knocking it out, it might make sense to have a tank. But I do just want to quickly remind everybody, if you're planning on using spells or ranged attacks, that I don't think you can make those non-lethal. So either, you know, from a distance support or use like nets and stuff.
You know, now that Lucian gave me these sweet kicks, I think I could serve as a decent distraction, so we might not need to, you know, give a noble and majestic creature a concussion.
I feel like we're still going to have to give it a concussion, and I will follow suit and also activate my infiltrator mode, which does not exist, so I sound like this. Every time I step.
I'm still an Aarakocra, and I'm like, oh, look at me!
Yes, so we have three people on the team that can fly, and then Silas and Katana.
I'm walking.
So,
okay. I've been watching Vox Machina. Apparently, I can just ride the Vaxabit hand everywhere, so...
Apparently.
You actually could.
I think Lucian's going to be flying up and landing heavily, and really trying to figure out how to land properly, but I am failing.
Alright, well, I suppose we go and...
Alright.
Current plan is I'll wave my arms real big and scream real loud and buff Xander so that he can steal a couple feathers.
Yes. As we start off, I would like to set up the rules for tracking the bird. We're going to do a roll every hour, and you have to tell me how you are supporting. Cassander is a tracker by their training, so they're going to be scouting ahead and trying to create a trail for the rest of the team to follow. On the first hour, how are you supporting Xander?
Hey, this is just like tracking cockroaches back home. I will give Xander a bardic inspiration and the help action, if you'll permit me, since I'm also trained in survival.
All right, Sander has been helped, and they have a D6. D6 or D8?
8.
Ooh, fancy, fancy, smashy.
We're getting to be some beefy kids here.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
All right. Kitana, anything you can add to the pool?
I will add a nice guidance cantrip to Xander.
That's a D4, right?
It is. Once we get close, I can cast locate creature, but it's only 1,000-foot range, so I don't really want to blow it right now.
Got it.
I also only have one of those spell slots, so...
Lucius? I'm sorry, Lucian! Oh my god, I just call you Lucius. I'm so sorry.
Lucius, that's a nice name. I don't know if this helps at the moment. I have this new thing called Flashing Genius, where when you or another creature I see within 30 feet make an ability check or saving throw, I can use my reaction to add my intelligence modifier to their roll. So in just case they need to roll for something, I can add 3.
Holy shit, so I'm going to be rolling with advantage, add a d8, add a d4, and add 3 to it.
Yes.
This is going to be the most successful survivor check in the whole fucking world.
That one.
Right. I can only use it 3 times before a long rest.
Guidance doesn't stack, right?
No, you can't do 2 different guidances.
Yeah, no. Vala, there's other ways you can support. You can
just emotionally, just tell Xander how nice they look, you know.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. I'd like to support Xander emotionally.
Yeah.
Can I give him a piggyback ride?
Oh, so you'll support Xander physically as well.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No, they're flying. They're flying. They're flying above.
I'll turn into an Eric Cocker and give him an aerial piggyback ride.
So I was like, boss, I don't think that's how flying works.
It's fully how flying works. Don't worry about it.
I really appreciate it.
I'm sorry, Amon. Are you worrying about physics?
Since when?
Wow, that's so out of character for me.
No, I mean, I guess I could try to do like perception to try to point stuff out as I see it.
Ooh. Okay, let's begin. I'm going to roll the survival check first because I'm excited to see how far we can go.
On. Let's waste in that 20. Let's do it.
Wow, I need to take a photo of this.
Uh-oh. Oh boy. Where are you posting the photo? I want to be ready.
Did you just double one it? Is this Snake Eyes?
Oh.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yep.
And mind you, I used the orange die hoping to get a good roll and still... Double twos.
Hey, I don't see ones. We're still in this.
So it's still a high number, but the way it worked out is that actually, Valen, make your perception check.
Okay, no pressure, I guess, right?
Yeah, not at all.
We got lost in the forest and never came out.
I've taken a picture. Hold on.
That looks like also a 2.
Well, the 2 gang.
It's 2s all the way down.
The NADPOD has some competition for the 2 crew.
Yeah, no, I was going to say 2 gang. Cool. That is legally distinct.
Oh, no.
As long as we're a gang and not a crew, we're fine.
So somehow, Valen's new wings have been kind of like tricky to maneuver around. And you're just like literally flopping around. Do you remember? Right, Pavel, the person doesn't watch Drag Race, but when Joey J was dancing around in the chicken feather outfit, and there was just chicken feathers flying everywhere. That's the energy that's going on right now. Valen's still getting used to his new extremities, and just literally created a cloud of feathers around poor Xander, who's just trying to do their job. For the first track of the road, yeah, it's a struggle up there, real struggle town.
Well, what was Xander's total? Out of curiosity.
It's enough to keep you on track, but not enough to show you the destination.
Just for the listener, we're looking at the 2 on the die, but with the D8 and the D4, we're already up to 13. So. Hopefully Xander's got at least proficiency here.
Well, it's 16 with Lucian's bonus, so it's over 20.
We buffed the hell out of that, and you got nat 2.
It is over 20, but it is not enough to be an immediate success. It creates progress towards the goal, but it is not like an instant. If it was 30 at least, it would have been immediate success. You would have spotted the bird like 5 miles away.
Well, I got 2 more Flash of Geniuses to use.
Before that happens, after Xander comes down and gives an update, so they come down and they're like, all right, there are some unforeseen circumstances going on up there, but I think we're in the right direction. We should keep going straight this route. And they point out the track, the ground, what's the word I'm looking for? The landbound people have to follow. And they say to Valor, hey, boss, I think this time is best if you help them not get lost on land. I think, yeah, you'll be very, very good at that.
Yeah, definitely. It's what I was thinking too, for sure.
And Sander gets ready to fly up. I want everyone to make a Percepción check, por favor.
Nat 20, baby.
Oh, I almost got
redemption for Valor.
Redemption.
I'm on 19 total.
That B was like right there, and it just said, you know what? I hit the edge of your screen, so it's an 8 now.
What's the total of that perception, Pavel? The 20 plus what?
24.
Kitana?
Ooh, also 24.
Ooh.
I got a 12.
Okay. Alright. So, Kitana and Valen, you two, while you cannot pinpoint exactly where this feeling is coming from, you can tell you're being trapped. Something about when you look back and there's like a shadow of a hint of something far behind, like not chasing you, but like following.
Something is definitely following us.
You see it too, Kitana.
Alright, second track of the road. Let's do another roll. Am I getting the same bonuses as before?
Yeah, of course. Just go slowly this time because I'm trying not to step in any of the mud.
I'll give you another Flash of Genius.
I'll give Silas a piggyback ride.
Aw, thanks, Valen. This is really going to keep my shoes looking nice.
You got it, bud.
Make sure you mark off those abilities, Shane and Brandon. And yeah. Let's roll, baby.
Should I mark piggyback somewhere? Or?
How many piggybacks can you give before you have to take a long rest?
If I'm reading my character sheet correctly, I think 6.
That seems right. I knew you, multi-class barbarian.
Yes.
All right, this time around, I rolled beautifully. It was a 16 on the die, plus 8 on the bonuses, and then plus 3, that's 11, 27, plus stuff. We're close to 35.
Yeah.
Xander literally flies up, and not even 5 minutes later, they fly down, and they're like, all right, target has been locked. We are headed straight there.
Hell yeah.
Let us speed up the pace.
Well, hold on a second. We think that there might be somebody following us. Kitana and I noticed something.
Yes.
Maybe we should make sure that we don't take whatever that is to the confrontation.
A shadow of some sort is following us. I would like to... If anyone has, like, explosives that we could set as a trap for them...
close is it?
Well, I don't know, but we go down and you know, create a little... camp and plant some explosives and hide somewhere nearby and wait for them to investigate.
Let's make another perception check as a group.
What I can do, I have a spell that we can use.
I got 23 this time.
15.
14.
11, so I'm looking the wrong direction.
I'm still trying to fly right now.
I'm just so into these boots.
I fly like T-Hawk from Street Fighter. I go up and then I come down at a really steep angle. At really fast.
How close are they? It's because I can throw fairy fire if you give me a direction.
Kitana's eye catches that it's not just from one direction. Like, there is movement from many angles around you. And it's not like someone is like running up to you, but when you stopped, the movement stopped.
Oh, I don't like that.
And it's, again, it's a dense forest, so it's mostly like she can see like some top of trees far far away moving as you were moving, and now that movement stopped, so it's not a natural movement. So that's the length of what a perception can get you right now, is you can tell that there is some unnatural movement happening in the foliage around you.
I can use my people's abilities. I can cast a fog cloud.
I mean, they'll still see the fog cloud, right?
Yes, but they won't be able to follow us as specifically if we can give them the slip somehow from within the cloud. I don't have a ton of stealth tools.
Oh yeah, also I can just go invisible. But that's just me.
I could command someone to hit whoever is following us. I could also use compulsion to make them hit whoever is following us. I could also summon a spiritual weapon to hit whoever is following. I kind of do one thing. So...
If you point this person out, or whatever it is, I can teleport one of them to us.
I can show you where I last saw movement. Also, if I see one of these creatures close up, I suppose I could use locate creature to find them, but I have to see them close up first, so...
Well, we can also try approaching them if this is going to end in a confrontation one way or the other.
Oh, yeah, we can just hit them. So, do we want to do that before the bird?
Yeah, makes sense.
My thought is that they would likely be waiting for us to distract the bird and then go in for feathers if it's, you know, there's got to be other people interested in winning this.
That could just be a good time to hit them.
My worry is that it's Tiburcio, and specifically his non-Carib followers.
Tiburcio is so lame, he wouldn't be able to follow us. I don't even believe he could track anything.
Yeah, Tiburcio's a loser.
You're so right, Kitana. Tiburcio absolutely has none of the leadership capabilities necessary to even begin the logistics needed to plan this sort of thing.
Are you trying to talk me into coming out of hiding? Fuck you.
Yeah. Wait. Irman, was that in character?
Because it worked. Because it didn't totally work.
I guess if Tiburcio were to jump out and attack us, that would sure prove me wrong. But as it is, right. I see no evidence that he has any competence whatsoever.
He also has trash taste in both men and right-hand men. Who uses rope as a weapon and a summoning conduit? Losers?
I heard rope's not the only thing that he pushes. Wait, hold on.
That was good. Well done.
Is that a limp dick insult? Yeah. Oh my god.
I was trying to make the same insult somewhere once we started talking about rope, but I wasn't there yet. So
yeah. Well
done. Thank you.
Oh, that insult was good.
Well, I'm just going to hit some buttons on my FAFSA bit and see how this goes. And I summon the hand as just a big middle finger.
I need to make a will saving throw because the person who's listening to all of this is getting upset about it. And I get, you know, I rolled 2.
At least you're on brand.
Yes.
Our strongest ability, talking shit.
Apparently. Who'd have
thought?
Gruesome
twosome, baby. Gruesome twosome.
Oh, I love that.
Alright, so... as you literally sit around the forest talking shit about Tiburcio, you notice that... still far away, and by far away I mean a couple hundred feet in many directions, you see the movement begin again. And this time, you can tell that there is 7 points of movement all the way around the forest. And Xander flies up to try to, like, get a better look of where these things are, where these people are. And Xander flies down and says, boss, somehow they, are heading straight towards, towards the bird.
We gotta cut them off.
One of them is directly behind us, so, we better hurry up or we're gonna have to engage and be distracted while the rest of them hit the bird.
We need to stop the ones that are heading towards the bird.
They're spread all over the place. Are we gonna split up?
No, I think we should try to beat them to the bird and create a barricade of sorts.
Oh, all right. So how are we fast traveling through
Does
forest?
Does anybody have the capability to speak to this bird in a way that it could understand?
Just through the power of my heart.
Ah, okay. So that's not all.
So not magically. Yeah, no.
Definitely. I can go all Sonic the Hedgehog, which is. Oh no, I don't think I've been in a actual like fight on land before, so actually I don't know how this works.
Xander says, I speak a little bit of pidgin, so I can try.
Mm-hmm. Basically the same thing for sure.
Right. I could either send somebody 90 feet ahead, or I can activate my expeditious retreat and just dash twice. 70 feet twice, so 140 feet.
Well, you get, if you do that, you can move three times, so you move your movement speed three times.
Oh. So, credible players, bonus action, take a dash action. So, I can do expeditious retreat.
Maybe it makes sense for those of us that can fly to fly. You can't cast expeditious retreat on somebody else, can you?
But I hear someone has polymorph.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen, you know that meme of the woman who's like leaning over with her hands on her knees squinting because she looks all out of breath? That's Kitana, because I have a 30-foot walking speed and no real movement capabilities, so I'm just clunking along here.
Kitana, if you'd like to move a little faster, I could turn you into a horse.
Oh my god, yes. Why did it take you so long?
Wait, why don't you become the horse so she can ride you? Wait, or is that what you said?
Either one works.
This armor is very...
Yeah, I think it makes more sense to turn Kitana into a horse. And then Xander, Lucien, and I can fly.
I'm at peace with that.
I can run extreme speed on the floor if that helps. Oh, I can fly really fast too, actually. What the fuck am I talking about? Yeah.
So, okay, that sounds like we have a plan. Three of us are flying, Kitana is a horse, and Silas is riding Kitana horse.
And I'm going to cast Expeditious Retreat and do the dashing.
So you're literally going to be zooming through the skies.
Yeah, let me read what it says. When you cast a spell, and then as a bonus action, on each of your turns, you can take the dash action. You're going to see me go up, and then I'm going to turn slightly, and I'm just going to rocket in the direction of the bird.
All right, Xander, because of their own skills and their own buffs, they can keep up with you.
Fuck yeah.
And Xander says, boss, we don't really do piggyback rides in the sky, but I can tie a rope to you and drag you along.
I feel like that's not how movement works, but I am so for it. Take me away, my beautiful prince.
All right, Xander rigs you up, makes a harness out of rope, and says, all right, I hope you're not motion sick.
No, I think I'm...
Yeah, between Xander and Lucien, they jerry-rig a way to drag you through the sky.
Mm-hmm.
You're zooming with the zoomers.
I'll catch the tailwind.
Ermon, I have to ask you, what is your opinion on polymorphing people into various creatures that you may or may not have seen? Because I don't know if dinosaurs exist in our world.
Once you meet this giant ancient bird, you will notice that ancient birds are just dinosaurs.
Spoilers.
Okay. But the real question is, hey, Kitana, rather than a horse, how would you like to be a Triceratops?
Oh, I'm good with that.
Oh, man.
As long as I don't have to carry my heavy armor on human legs.
That's so
or
good.
I guess not human legs. What am I? Gith? On Gith legs.
That is such a fitting transformation.
The way that I would be okay with this is if you Mad Max it up a little bit, don't just make it a Triceratops, make it something that will, that you would have seen or experienced or learned about.
Triceraroach?
Yeah, like a giant insect of some type, and we can use the stats for the Triceratops, but make it into like, I don't know, a giant dung beetle or something.
No, I'm into it. In Silas's backstory, we had a like jungle cat of some kind that got at Yara once when she was little and chased her up into a tree. So I think that it would be some combination of like whatever that wild animal was, but obviously all kinds of meddled up because I guess nature is just fucked in our world. But yeah, Kitana, I guess you are a like hybrid bug cat that with metal parts now. So
horrifying.
Alexa, play yeah. Jungle Kitty by Bibi Zaharabane.
And I put the stat block in or a link to it in the general chat so you can see it.
Excellent.
Okay. So, because of terrain, the flyers will get there first. Would you like to get there first or wait for the landlocks?
I think we'll get there first, right?
Go on without us. We'll be right there.
So, the flyers, meaning Lucien, Xander, and Valen, as you fly above the treetops, you will approach a clearing near the base of a small hill. In this clearing, there is a gigantic nest. And by gigantic, I mean, baby, it's a big. Inside this nest, there is a large feather creature that, if it were standing up, it would easily go over 30 or 40 feet high. Maybe more, because the neck, you cannot see the full length of its neck. Its wings are, you know, when a chicken is roosting, they're like, it's like all fluffy and stuff, and the little wings are just on top of its belly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like that, but it has very, very gigantic sharp claws at the end of its chicken wings. The head reminds you of a clockstretch. God damn it. I hate this word so much. I hate everyone for coming up with this word.
Pretty soon, and you're just going to have a world-spanning event where they all die. Every
single oh, no.
It is a giant bone, or... Yeah, it's just bone, really. A giant white bone crest right in front of its head. And it is sharp as fuck. It's also been notched here and there. You can see that this thing has used this crest many a time before. Its beak is hooked and almost hits its neck of like how long it is.
Oh my.
And it's not sleeping, but it is squatting over its nest and looking anxious because it's like it looks around and gets to spot you. But not only that, it's also looking around itself, into the woods around its nest. And as it does so, it lets out a scream of anger, and you can almost feel a little bit of fear in this scream. And you see from the woods around it, six creatures pop out, very much ninja style. They like dash head and shoulders first out of the woods, and they remind you of that invisible kit that you killed back in Argent.
Killed?
That who killed?
We didn't kill him.
I mean, I'm not taking the blame for it, so...
Yeah, okay. You monster.
Blood off my hands. I'm washing off the blood.
Right, there's no blood on your hands because he was choked out by his own artifact.
Yeah. That's the character's fault. It's not me. You know, I'm just playing a character.
Monster.
So there's six young humanoids. They look to be human. A little light compared to your average human adult. And instead of a right arm, all of them have a coil of rope where the shoulder... where the arm, where the bicep meets the shoulder, it's just a coil, a thick coil of rope that kind of like loosens up where the elbow would be. And then it's like a long piece of rope that has been, that's dangling there. And you can tell that they've been using that to jump around the woods. At the end of it, there is a hook, a four-sided hook. And the rope itself, it's very much alive as the one you encountered before.
This is a good deal disturbing.
And from a spot past the birds, like, so this person like went around the nest and is coming from like what would be from behind, you would say, right? You see pretty much bulldoze his way out of the woods, a tall, imposing, muscular figure. And you recognize this person as Tubercio's first mate, that capybara humanoid guy. He is holding in his hand a heavy mace and is wearing studded leather armor and pretty much just like shoulder a tree out of his way to come out. And he lets out the most blood-curdling scream you have ever heard. And you see the bird, like, its feathers just kind of like ruffle up and is quite unhappy about the situation. Everybody rolls initiative.
That douchebag's mine.
Landlocked crowd, you will join in second round. Let's go.
Yeesh.
Ooh, that's nice.
That's a five.
21 for me.
Sucks that I am not there yet, because I'm on 22.
Holy shit, you people.
I am also five.
thank you for being down here.
You're welcome.
Since Kitana and I are moving as a group, I'll take my first action on five when we get there. I think that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hell yeah.
All right, Pavel, you go first. Distance-wise, remember as we described before, we're using, instead of feet, we're using just a universal method to determine distance. It's either adjacent, close range, mid range, or long range. Right now, you would be mid range away from the bird and long range away from the capybara, bro.
So as far as that goes, remind me what the distance is for long range.
It will be 150 feet and more. So gotcha. You would not be able to reach him this round unless you are Xander or Lucian.
Gotcha. So what I will do then is I'll move my distance, and that should put me within range for Eldritch Blast.
Okay.
Which is 120 feet. And I shoot two of them. Here they come. That's a 20, not nat. And, ooh, and 25 to hit.
They both hit.
That's going to be... 12 points of force damage.
Alright, the damage goes through.
And that is my turn, I believe.
Which one did you hit?
Capybara.
It's the bird's turn, and while everybody is the center of the nest is surrounded by, or the area around the nest before you hit the forest, is surrounded by like bones of animals and other creatures that she has eaten. And it's about 30 to 40 feet between the edge of the forest to the bird. So it's, if you are anywhere but adjacent to her, you'll be considered to be a close range, right? And you can tell that it's the bird's turn and she is very, very angry. And I say she because now you can tell the reason why she's been squatting or sitting on her nest is because there's eggs in there. And what's the name of that word would you give to chickens when they have eggs and they're like grumpy at you?
Motherhood?
No. Yeah, I was gonna say
there's a word for chickens specifically that farmers use. Well, I'm not a farmer, but you can get you get the gist
that it's mad at us.
Yes, she's nesting and she's angry, and she pretty much enters a rage. And you see that she starts just like pecking in every direction near the nest, and she doesn't have to be within adjacent range to do a melee attack. If you enter that clearing at any point, she'll be able to drag you, slay you.
Good to know.
Okay, I kind of want to switch my character over to this barbarian chicken.
All right. After the bird, it's the rope team, rope squad, yeah!
So if we're close to that big chicken baby, it will destroy us.
Basically, yeah.
Oh gosh, I just wanted to sneak and steal some feathers.
So imagine we are looking at the clearing from above, mm-hmm. and Capybara Boy is on 12, right? So, the rope boys, if Capybara Man is on 12, the rope boys are on 2, 4, 6, 7, 9, and 10. And all six of them...
That's a lot.
...let the ropes fly, the hooks fly towards the bird. And they're all trying to latch on.
I don't like this.
Two of the ropes make contact, and the bird is angry. And you can see that the two hooks that make contact immediately tighten up, because the rope, once again, is somewhat part of their bodies. And you see that underneath their shirts, the glow of either magic or electricity starts to shine. Alright, next up is Chonky Boy, Chonk, the Capybara. Looks at the three of you in the sky and gives you a wave and says, "Hey, what's up, dickwads?
Hey,
I hear you're talking shit about my boss, but how about you come down here and lick my fucking boots, huh?" Okay, so that means that he's trying to command you, similar to what Kitana would do.
Oh,
I need... This is a charm effect, by the way. If you have anything that will protect you against charm effects, this is a charm effect.
It's not a spell, is it?
It is not a spell. It's one of his supernatural abilities. Mm-hmm. I will need you to make a wisdom saving throw, please.
No! Wisdom save is 5.
14 for me.
Here I am waiting for Xander to roll to give me the roll, and I'm like, oh, I'm Xander! Xander also fails, and the moment like
wait, what do you mean also?
Oh, you both failed. The moment Cappy asks you to do that, your brains kind of like stop functioning for a second, and like your body stops moving, and all you can think about is landing.
That's all I want to do, my dude.
Wait, all three of us?
Yeah.
He even at his 14. Oh, bitch, I'll use my last flash of genius to give him the extra 3. I'll give my last one to Valen to add 3.
A 17 will do it.
Good.
Really?
Shit.
Damn, thanks, Lucien.
Fuck, I was like, all of us? All of us? Shit! Well, I ain't got no more of that flash of genius. Mind you, I thought that wasn't going to help at all. That's an amazing ability.
So, Lucien, on your turn, you will land at the very edge of the clearing. We'll see if the bird can reach you. But on your next turn, all you can push yourself to do is just land and stand there.
Damn. Can I talk smack?
Let me see.
I think you can lick boots.
Alright, by the way, Valen, you are immune to this ability for the rest of the next 24 hours.
Oh, this is gonna go real bad for you, my dude.
Teehee. Alright, Brandon, unfortunately, my friend, you are captivated. You know what, I'll let you do an intelligence saving throw. An intelligence ability check, just a raw intelligence roll. To give you the chance to figure out a way out of this.
Intelligence roll. So I just click intelligence here, right?
Yeah.
click. Raw intelligence. That is a 13.
You have not encountered anything like this before. But when the rest of the team gets here, they'll get a chance to reassess.
So all I can do on my turn is land.
Yeah, you just land and you stand there looking perplexed.
But am I... so I'm charmed? But I don't know if I'm charmed or not.
Yes, you are charmed right now.
So I can't talk shit to him? Can I talk shit?
Unfortunately, no.
Because I'm charmed. God,
wait. What's up? Matter of fact, you can still take actions. It's just that you cannot move anywhere.
Oh. Ooh. I can take an action. So I can shoot this motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I land, and I think I'm really perplexed. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I land, I do that big crater thing that I do when I just hit the floor really hard. And I'm like, I don't know what that was about. I do not like what's happening here. I think I'm going to actually go back into my lizard form and put my helmet on. I'm going to look up and be like, I don't know what you did, you bastard, but look at you coming out and not being used as a hole for a day.
Wow. Wow, y'all really going at it with this insult slick, huh?
Yeah.
Read them to filth.
Right, like, unlike them, I know who you are, you big old power bottom.
Kitana, did you hear something? I'm taking notes. I feel like there was a really good read moments ago.
I'm going to actually... I want to shoot him, but what I really want to... I feel like I should shoot those people who attach their rope to the creature.
I'm hoping I will be able to deal with them, but let's see.
Oh, if that's the case, I could just shoot at him because I am insulting him. Yeah, I'll shoot at him. But maybe this will break the charm.
By the way, the ones that are hooked are the ones that are on 4 and 10. Kitana and Silas will approach up from behind 6.
I do appreciate this clock face idea.
Yeah, this is great. Shit, I really want to shoot the people that's attacking the bird.
Do what you're going to do. You don't know when they're going to get here.
That's also true. So I'm going to... I can attack twice. So I'm going to shoot at the first one at... You said 4 and 10, right? So the closest to Kitana then would be 10. So I'm going to shoot 4? That's not how numbers work.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, the 10. 10 is the furthest. I'm going to shoot at 10.
All right. Hit me, baby. Hit me.
Oh, because I'm in infiltrator mode, I have my lightning launcher. That's a 14 first attack?
14 misses.
14 misses? I'm shooting. I just shoot randomly into the darkness. Second attack... Ho-ho! Net 20!
Nice! Fuck yeah.
26!
Oh, that's a hit.
Yeah, I got crit. So, and I'm gonna click my lightning! Once on each of your turns, when you hit a creature with it, you can deal an extra 1d6 lightning damage to that target.
Which is also doubled.
Yeah, it's doubled.
Oh, it's doubled? Ooh, okay.
Yeah, all dice get doubled.
Double dice, an extra 9 damage. But that is 17 right. Damage to the guy at 10. And while I'm doing that, I'm like, yeah, how about that? How about them apples? Looks like your minions are just as bad as you are. Telling me to lick boots. I'm not Tibercio.
Don't you dare King Shame us. How dare you?
I'm not King Shaming you. It's just that you don't do shit but fucking eat. I'm surprised you're outside of the ship.
I also work out a lot.
Well, yeah, well, duh, you're hot, but not the point.
Was that ship as in boat, or are you, like, think that Capybara's OTP is Tibercio? Because either way, I'm on board, I just want
to Oh, no, I know that. I know that, too.
Alright, are you done, Bradley?
Yeah, I'm done spilling his tea to everyone.
Valentino.
Okay. I am what? I'm no longer long range, I'm mid range?
Yeah, you're mid range right now. You're like right above the chicken.
I will keep dive bombing towards the capybara. Would I get like within 30 feet of them?
No, you're like about 50 to 60 feet away right now.
Okay, cool. So I will continue to fly towards them, and as a bonus action, I will cast Hex on him, and I will shoot two Eldritch Blasts as an action.
All right. Give it to me.
Will do. Oof. That's a 13 to hit.
That's a miss.
And the second one is another 13 to miss. Okay, yes, that's my turn.
All right, after Pavello, it's...
Oh, also, I'll choose strength as the disadvantage on ability checks.
Oh, okay. It's the bird. No one is within range of the bird, so the bird doesn't do anything. The two rope kits that latched on, they just let it rip, and electricity starts to flow from their body towards the bird.
No!
And the bird gets sapped.
That's very sad. I don't like that.
What happened to the guy that I hit? Did he just ate it?
He took the damage, but he's still functioning. His arm's still functional. Rope's still attached.
Did Xander get a chance to go? Oh, Xander flew down. That's right.
Yeah, they flew down and they're paralyzed. I have Xander at the end of the round, so I just... since they had to fly down anyways, I just had them fly down with Lucian.
And they didn't get to attack like Lucian did, right?
Xander is more of a double sword swinging kind of a person.
Gotcha. Strange boy.
Bird takes 29 points of electrician damage combined from both. And she is not a happy bird.
Oh, I'm gonna hurt these bastards.
The other four rope pushers throw their hooks. And two more latch on. Let's say 6 and 2 latch on. 2, 4, 6, and 10 are all latched.
Hey, Kitana. You see those big mandibles you've got right now? And that guy whose back we are rapidly approaching who just used lightning on our bird friend? I think you have the instincts for this situation.
All right. Now it's the chomp, chomp, chomp. Chunky fella. While the bird is distracted, the chunky fella takes out I think it's just a boomerang. That's not I was trying to try to like be fancy about it, but pretty much it is a non-magical thrown weapon that looks to be meant for accuracy more so than damage. And he makes eye contact with you, Valen, and says, "Well, since y'all really wanted this, I guess I have to get my hands dirty. I was gonna save the eggs for protein later, but it's time."
Oh, I hate this guy.
And he throws his boomerang at the bird, but it's not aiming for the neck or the body itself. It's aiming at her feet and or below her belly. And he says to you, Valen, "You do know that these things are mostly feathers, right? Thank God the Fafsen managed to breed the feathers out of them. And don't worry, once we get her with us, I'll let you see the new batch when I feed you to mine."
Oh, this guy's a dick.
And let me roll the attack real quick. Oh my. So, he throws the boomerang and you hear a loud thunk. And a crash. And a slosh. And then the slosh continues. And you see that he started to inhale, like Kirby almost. Like... And slowly, some of the inside of the egg, like, flies towards him. And he, like, swallows it. And beefs up a little bit more.
Not a spell, right?
Not a spell.
What the fuck?
Seriously?
I'll read the ability out loud so you understand what's going on.
Did he also just kill one of her children to eat it?
Whenever a creature within 60 feet of this motherfucker dies, gets 15 temporary HP from sucking on their life force of the being dying. He's like, I normally don't do children, but...
Yeah?
And not only is his... he got the temporary HP, you also see that his body kind of like beefed up a little bit more than it was. Alright, Brandon, you're still landlocked, but it's your turn.
I am angry. I was like, is there nothing you won't put in your mouth? I am going to try to be creative. How far away is he from me again?
Capybara?
Yeah.
Pretty much all the way across the field, so you are long range from him right now.
So more than 90 feet, because that's why he's far, far, right?
Yeah.
Damn. I guess I have an idea for the future. You ain't shit! Also, what's your name again? I forgot your name.
They just call me Cap. It's fine. Just call me Cap. I'll be your captain one day.
No, you won't. You'll always be Tabersio's bottom.
I mean, I can be
to
both.
To clarify, there's nothing wrong with being a bottom. It's being Tabersio's bottom specifically. That's like, ooh.
Yeah, specifically Tabersio's bottom. That it's like, eh. Yeah, I'm not hit at that. But I'm going to attack 10 o'clock that I attacked the first time. That's 17.
17 hits, yeah.
On him, I'm going to do the once per turn an extra d6. 10 damage altogether to him.
All right, noted.
He's still up?
Yeah, still up. He's getting close to being blocked.
Then I'm going to attack him again. This motherfucker, why won't he die? So altogether, 18 damage to him?
He is officially bloodied.
My gosh. These are some strong guys.
Yeah.
And we can we see the profile of any of them?
What do you mean, like their faces?
Yeah.
They look like generic young humans. Mix and match of genders, but yeah, nothing outstanding. Just minions. Okay, after Brandon, Kitana and Silas make their dramatic appearance.
Kitana, get me as close as you can.
I assume I'm using all my movement to walk up in there.
Correct, yeah.
So if Kitana gets me as close as possible, how far am I still away? Am I in close range?
You are literally at the base of the tree where number 6 is climb up to.
Okay. So I would like to get to the bird itself up close and personal. Can I do that running, or do I need to do something stupid?
No, if you want to run down the plane, the clearing, you're all good, baby. Do it.
You know what? I'm going to do something stupid anyway. And as Kitana gets me close, I have the FAFSA bit in my hand instead of my weapons. I hit a button and a giant golden hand appears behind me, kind of balled up like a fist. And then it just flicks Silas in the back and I go flying towards the bird. Arms extended. This is going to be one hell of a hug!
Oh my fucking god. Let's just cut it there for now. Shane, I hate you. stick around and come back for the next episode of The Legend of Not One to find out if the bird enjoys hugs. Who knows? She seems friendly enough, right?
No.
She just lost her child. Be sensitive.
I'm giving her a hug.
I was talking to her mom.
It wasn't really a child yet. It was like a pre-child.
What?
Yeah, I wasn't about to get into the philosophical debate on whether an unborn egg is a creature.
Were these eggs fertilized, and how long have they been fertilized?
I have a look over at my egg sandwich that I had for breakfast.
I'm sorry, vegetarians and vegetarian listeners. You are not murdering chickens by eating eggs, I'm sure.
This podcast is going to slowly turn us all vegan.
Yep, I'm getting there.
All right, we ate little tapirs. I mean, big tapirs.
Nobody ate the tapirs. Nobody ate the tapirs. I made that very, very clear.
Grandma Val definitely ate.
She absolutely did not.
My name is Rick. I've been the voice of Kitana, and I absolutely did eat some tapirs.
Rick did, not Kitana.
Seriously, killing cute animals? What are we, Nadpod?
Oh, I'm Brandon, and I played Lucien, and man, his first land battle, and he is stuck in one place.
One might say landlocked.
I also really enjoyed that we had a battle encounter in which we decided to stop right before I got my first turn.
Well, I'm Shane, and I played Silas, and apparently ruined Rick's day.
I'm Valen, voiced by Pavel, and we do not condone the eating or killing of cute animals.
I did.
I mean,
I
condone
that. I just meant Valen and Pavel don't.
Oh, that's fair.
Now, Pavel, the question is, would you condone the killing and eating of cute animals if Vincenzo did it in Netflix?
Now, if Vincenzo on Netflix did it, I might. Everybody should go check it out.
What about ugly animals?
Okay, we're not getting into the societal impressions of and beauty norms that we have in the world of Azua. We are going to save that for the... what's the thing that we do? Talking naturally. I was going to call it the short rest, which is definitely a different podcast.
Yeah, no, Talking Naturally, that's where we go to hemorrhage listeners by pissing off anyone in PETA, vegetarians, vegans. Pretty much if you exist, we probably said something wrong about you.
I also have an important message to share with our listeners. Hi, my name is Rick, and I am the voice of Kitana on the podcast Nat 1. I'm here to talk to you about a serious issue that many people aren't aware of. Do you know any D-list villains who have their lips so firmly attached to their boss's dick that you can't hear what they're saying? Tiburcio is just one villain. And for just 50 cents a day, you can help get those lips surgically removed. Please, donate to a D-tier villain in need. Thank you.
Are you suggesting we all pitch in as a group and get Tiburcio a flesh jack? Honestly, that might work.
Hey, Bad Dragon, please sponsor us. I will sell shark dicks here. I you don't have to pay me. Just let me do it. I'll sell them for you for free.
Listen, we got that Bad Dragon and the Tushy sponsorship, and boom, we're golden.
If
we're
being good. Honest, Rick, you were saying that, and I was going back and forth. Is this Final Fantasy or bidets? It could go either way.
I thought you were going to say the keys are now available to buy so you can start playing Final Fantasy.
And that's true, actually. You can, once again, sign up as a new player of Final Fantasy if you wish, and the queue times are not bad.
They're back to normal, for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about Final Fantasy is you can play it while on the bidet.
True.
And you can play up to the award-winning expansion Heavensward for free.
Levels 1 to 60 with no gameplay time limits. Wow.
That's so great.
I'm shutting this down. We
just
are not
use promo
sponsored.
Code, not a real promo code. When you download the game.
To pay 100% of the normal price.
And probably get an error message.
Absolutely not. We are not sponsored. I'm shutting this down.
Remember, if you like our podcast and enjoy our content, make sure to check us out on Discord.
There's a link in our show notes.
The Legend of Nat 1 theme is by David Yardley. You can find more of his work at davidyardleymusic.com. That's Yardley spelled Yardley.
Logo by Ben Thwaite.
You can follow us on our socials, The Legend of Nat 1 on Facebook and Nat 1 Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
That is Nat, the number one, Pod.
And if you really like our content, you can throw us a dollar on Patreon, Nat 1 Pod.
Email us at legendofnat1@gmail.com to give us feedback, suggestions, or criticisms that will haunt us for the rest of our days.
The majority of our music is by Kevin MacLeod, and the license is provided by incompetech.filmmusic.io.
Valen decided he needed his own theme music. You can find Pirates of the Quarantine by Alexander Nakarada, and the license is provided by filmmusic.io.
I love that. I love that. That is loved by me.
It seems a bit biased about your love.
Our amazing editing is done by the incomparable Brandon Lee,
also known affectionately as Pooh Bear,
with assistance by Shane Cherry.
Hey, that's me.
And if you didn't like our content, again, we are The Adventure Zone.
That's some gay history right there, because that is a staple drag queen joke.
Yes, it is.
Beautiful.
All right, so we can just, Brandon, I'm going to have you and Shane slice into this
portion. No, I got
portion.
It. Hi, guys. Oh. I'm Shane, and I'm the voice of Silas. I should listen to Kitana more.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Sounds legit to me. We can use that one.
Hi, I'm Shane. NatPod reference.
That's what?
NatPod? Is that what it's called? Adventure Zone reference?
Not another D&D podcast. That's another thing we started to say.
There we go. See?
Hey kids, I'm Shane, voice of Silas, and I got new shoes.
That's also true. Yeah.
I was going to say hey kids, because that's how he always opens. Yeah.
Now you have to do something else.
I know he references podcasts, so that's what I did.
Good morning, designers. It is I, Shane Cherry, and not Jim.
I imagine you over there getting ready to like physically moving your body just to make sure you get it right. And that's what I felt that silence was for a bit, and I came out quite perfectly.
Just trying to see which reference I was going to use, because I was going to go with like one of the podcasts, but I really don't know Welcome to Night Vale enough to reference the guy. But Tim Gunn, that I can do.
That's always a good reference. Tim Gunn is a good designer. See, this only leads further to Lucien becoming a fashion mogul.
Sorry about that. I'm back.
It's okay. We have 4 versions of your intro. We're good.
4 versions of my intro?
Yeah.
We each did one.
I'll real quick give one more in case it wants y'all want it edited in.
Before you do that, what are we betting on the person who had the closest to what Shane's actual intro is going to be?
Ooh,
I don't know if that's fair, because I think mine was, like, right spot on.
Winner gets some sunflower seeds.
Yeah, I think it was me, honestly.
It's probably...
I'm going to go Pavel.
It's probably yours.
I am so scared to listen to this audio.
No, go ahead, please. One of us had to be right.
All right, well, here's the left turn you didn't see coming. Hi, I'm Shane, I play Silas, and today I'm joined in my little recording studio, the Castle Cacophony, by a cute little mimic that got sent to me by our friend and fan, Psyker. So thank you for that. It's so cute, and it gobbles up all my dice.
Well, fuck you, Shane.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pablo, you're out of the race.
Yeah. We're all out of the race, Tim Gunn.
Yeah, I thought he was going to reference a podcast.
It's
Damn
been
it.
So long since I've done a
so
podcast
I guess Rick
reference.
Was the closest one.
Yeah, Rick was the closest one.
I told you.